This is the State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. The U.S. Open takes place this week in the Moore County town of Pinehurst. In addition to the celebrity golfers on hand, five neighborhoods in and around Pinehurst have been attracting attention for the striking contrast of their poverty amidst the affluence. The communities lack basic services such as paved streets, garbage collection, sewers, and water because they are not fully incorporated as part of the town. The areas we are speaking of are mostly African American, and some have asked to be annexed into the neighboring more wealthy towns. But this is not the only annexation debate going on in North Carolina. Elsewhere, in Wake County, for instance, there are towns that are using North Carolina's involuntary annexation law to add and accumulate more property. The new residents don't often want to be annexed. They don't want to pay taxes to the town. Now, when you look at a map, the lines between annexed and not annexed areas may seem clear, but on the ground, the issue of annexation is proving to be anything but. This hour, we take a look at North Carolina's annexation laws. Should towns be able to annex any adjacent property? Should people who want to be annexed automatically be included within the town limits? We welcome your calls this hour. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. That's 1-877, it's toll-free, 962-9862. With us in the studio is Alan Parnell. He is Vice President of Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Ellis Hankins is with us. He's Executive Director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities. Welcome, Ellis.
Good afternoon.
And again, the number's 1-877-962-9862. Well, there are two very big annexation issues going on in the state right now. So let's look at the issue that's waging on around Pinehurst and Southern Pines. There are residents of communities there, Jackson Hamlet, Midway, who say they would like to be part of the town that in some cases surrounds them. They're like the hole in the donut, and the town is around them. How is it that they have gone this long by not becoming part of the town?
I think it's a historical pattern. These were small black communities that were there before there was the rapid growth of Pinehurst and Southern Pines and Aberdeen. These towns have since grown out and reached these communities. For example, Pinehurst number 6, which surrounds Monroetown now. And for various reasons, the community interest or the interest of the towns, they have not been included, incorporated, and received the services that the rest of the residents of the towns receive.
Are you saying, you're saying a hole on the golf course surrounds a town?
Pinehurst number 6 is also a residential community as well as the golf course.
Oh, okay. It's not just the hole on the golf course.
No. I mean, there's the Monroetown is literally a hole within the residential community of Pinehurst number 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're making the case that there's a history of this in the state.
Yes, and it's
excluding
not
excluding African American communities, poorer communities, from becoming part of the cities that they're either adjacent to or surrounded by.
Yes, and it's not just the case in Moore County either. There are other examples across the state.
Mm-hmm. How long has that been going on?
Oh, a good while. There was even in Chapel Hill and Carrbrough in the mid '70s. There was the area down Merritt Mill Road was described as a no man's land between Chapel Hill and Carrbrough. It's predominantly African American, and neither town was interested in annexing them, and they weren't annexed until about 25 years ago. And it happens in other places around the state. More likely to find it, we found, in smaller towns and cities than in the Charlottes, the Greensboros, the Raleighs.
Mm-hmm. Ellis Hankins, I wonder, people who may not have grown up in North Carolina, it may strike them as odd that you can live in a place that's not part of a town, because in many parts of the country, one township and town butts up against another, and you're either in one town or the other.
Sure.
But in North Carolina, you could be in an unincorporated area. You could be in the county, and that's your only government.
Well, that's right. And in most other parts of the country, as a matter of fact, most other states, there are areas that are unincorporated and not part of a municipality, a city, or town. Let me make a few comments about Moore County in particular. Your opening remarks said that people in some of these communities had asked to be annexed into one of the adjacent municipalities. As far as we know, there have not been formal requests by all the residents of any of these areas. We'll talk in a minute about what the North Carolina annexation statutes allow and require. But one process is what is called citizen-initiated or petitioned annexation, requires a 100% petition signed by property owners. We're not aware that any such petition has been filed from folks in any of the neighborhoods that Dr. Parnell mentioned.
Right. So it's all or nothing at all. If like one neighbor in that community doesn't want to be mm-hmm. annexed.
In that process, that's mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The difficulty there is there's a linkage between provision of infrastructure, and if you ask to be annexed, the municipality has no obligation. These people are facing severe problems with infrastructure, with failed septic tanks and lack of water. So they need to negotiate with the municipality before they can initiate a request for annexation, or the problems won't be solved. Mm. The lawyers from the Center for Civil Rights, Anita Earls and others, are down there working with members of the community to help them fulfill the request and negotiate with the municipalities.
Being annexed comes at a cost, and that gets to the other issue of
That's
people
right.
who are involuntarily annexed and don't want to be paying the higher taxes that come with becoming, say, part of the city of Cary or Apex. But on this issue in Pinehurst, those people in these neighborhoods, these communities, African-American, largely poor neighborhoods, they would be hit with a bill for becoming part of the town of Pinehurst. There would be taxes, presumably. This is an affluent town. And also, if you're going to get sewer, I mean, there's a tap-on fee that, if I'm not mistaken, runs thousands of dollars. Is that
There was a newspaper story about the Moore County situation in particular, Raleigh News Observer, Sunday, June 5th. It went into great detail about this, and clearly there are neighborhoods close to some of the towns in Moore County that need a higher level of public services than they are now receiving. There's a long history of how and why that is the case and still the case. We can go into some of that. It's not easy, simple, and no one can wave a magic wand and solve the problems, and certainly not easily and inexpensively. Let's talk for a minute about what the North Carolina annexation laws allow and require. First of all, a little history. These statutes were enacted by the General Assembly in 1959. And I have with me part of the study committee report. It resulted from a rational discussion back when there used to be more of that before the General Assembly enacted laws. There actually was a lengthy study process with some recommendations that resulted in enactment of these municipal annexation statutes. And what that study committee said at the time is that they believe that the rights and privileges of residents of the urban fringe areas must be interpreted in the context of the rights and privileges of every person in the urban area, and that when an individual chooses to live on urban-type land adjacent to a city, he or she must anticipate annexation sooner or later as conditions around them change. That's the premise of the annexation statutes. Some people have the misperception that a city can just reach out and annex any area that the governing body might choose. That's not the case at all.
Does it have to be something similar? It has to look similar to the other part of the boundary line?
Yeah.
The land on the other side of the line?
Actually, there are four requirements. There's a complicated process that involves notice to property owners, a written report that shows lots of things that I'll talk about in a minute. There are development standards that are in the statutes. That's what you were just talking about. These areas have to be developing to near urban standards so that they are beginning to look just like the areas that are already in the adjacent town, so that the time has come soon for annexation. Third, the municipality has to show that it can and will provide urban services out in these areas if they are annexed. And that's not easier.
So you're not just being taxed, but you're getting something
for
your taxes.
That's right. The whole reason for cities to exist in the first place is to provide urban-level services to urban areas. Fourth, the members of the governing body have to sit there, and sometimes in a room full of angry people who do not want to be annexed, no matter what circumstances, and have the political courage to adopt the annexation ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the process.
Alan Parnell?
Another issue we haven't addressed, and it's a major concern of the residents of the communities in Moore County, is they have no political voice in what happens to them. They're not in town, but they're under the political control of the town for land use because they're in the town's extraterritorial jurisdiction. So the town has the authority to zone them, and they have no voice. They have to go to these towns if they want a building permit, but they can't vote for that government. So one of the strongest expressions that I've heard is that they would like a voice, a democratic voice.
So it's not taxation without representation, but it's zoning without representation, and about having a say.
Absolutely.
In that.
Melinda, a couple points. That newspaper story that I mentioned, first of all, shows pretty clearly that there's no unanimity of opinion in those neighborhoods in Moore County that we're talking about in favor of annexation by the neighboring municipalities. Mm. If that were the case, it could be done. Second, I want to let you know that the county government and several of the municipalities in Moore County have done things in the past to improve some of those neighborhoods by providing public infrastructure. We can talk some more about that.
In Jackson Hamlet, we have people living on 1/8-acre lots with failed septic tanks, which is a public health issue. This is a very dense neighborhood, small lots on sand, where the drain fields no longer qualify. Their lots aren't large enough to have improvements in their drain fields. So we have a very dense population, an urban population that's facing a significant public health problem.
Briefly, what about the issue, though, about there not being unanimity among everybody
I can't speak for the members of Jackson Hamlet. All I know is that they would like, or any of the other communities, they speak for themselves. What I know is they would like to have the services, and they would like to have a voice.
Okay. And this is the state of things. We're talking today about North Carolina's annexation laws, how town boundaries are drawn. And we are talking with Alan Parnell, Vice President of the Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities, and Ellis Hankins, who is Executive Director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities. And we're taking your calls. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. Who benefits from North Carolina's existing annexation laws? Just ahead, we'll hear from a man in Wake County who wants to be left out of Cary. All that ahead on the state of things. This is the State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. In Moore County, some residents of communities around Pinehurst, where the U.S. Open is going to take place, are asking that they be annexed by the wealthier resort town or get the services offered by that town. Meanwhile, in other parts of the state, notably around Cary in Wake County, residents are resisting involuntary annexation, that is, the town nearby, saying that that property, their property, should become part of the town and they should pay the taxes there. We're talking today about North Carolina's annexation laws. With us are Ellis Hankins, Executive Director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, and Alan Parnell, Vice President of Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities. And we're welcoming your calls. Our number's 1-877-962-9862. Is annexation the way for cities and towns to increase their tax space? Is it fair to leave some areas out of the annexation process if some residents want in? The number's 1-877-962-9862. Let's go now to Jim, who is in Pinehurst. Hi there, Jim.
Yes. There's one thing that I've noticed that nobody has touched on, and that's the fact that Pinehurst does not own its own water nor sewage system. And all the areas that were developed, the developers put those items into place, and the water and sewage system assumes that, and that water and sewage system is owned by the County of Moore, the Moore County Water Sewage System. And if anything has to be done, you have to go to them to get tap and services. Now, Pinehurst tried to buy the water system from the county, and due to political reasons, one vote from one member of the board, that failed last year. And the Pinehurst had already bought a bond and everything, set it up to buy this system from the county because the county was not providing the services that should be provided. Now, in terms of the outlying areas like Jackson Hamlet and the other couple areas, Monroe Town and those other areas, those areas were developed back in the 20s and 30s and the 40s, and at that point in time they had their own private water system, which would be a well and a septic tank, and they were in good shape at that time. But with the amount of building that has gone on, when Pinehurst was sold and they built around these little communities, the owner of the land put in the infrastructure and the water system is then therefore taken over. So you cannot blame this on Pinehurst, nor can you blame it on Aberdeen. Aberdeen does own their own system.
How about on Moore County for not extending it to these people who are clearly, if they're not residents of Pinehurst, they certainly are residents of Moore County.
Well, that's a different story. Now, if you want to say that Moore County is not providing it, that's fine. But don't say Pinehurst is not providing it, because they do provide trash service. They do provide police service. The county does provide police service, but don't say Pinehurst.
Actually, I have read an account, though, that does suggest that the town is not providing the garbage service in there. But let's let Ellis Hankins take this on. Ellis?
Melinda, the caller is correct. The town of Pine, the village of Pinehurst, does not own or operate the water and sewer system. The county of Moore does. Let me say that I talked this morning with the Moore County manager, Steve Wyatt, and with the Pinehurst village manager, Andy Wilkerson. The water and sewer situation in Pinehurst has a long history that I won't get into. The Jackson Hamlet neighborhood that has been mentioned several times is right beside the village of Pinehurst. Successful efforts have been made in the past by the county government and the village of Pinehurst working together to provide some of those services that we've been talking about to the Jackson Hamlet community because they were needed. For example, public water lines were extended to the Jackson Hamlet community in the late 90s because the county obtained a federal community development block grant to do that, and the village of Pinehurst and the town of Aberdeen close by contributed money toward the local match that was required. So there is public water in Jackson Hamlet. There are discussions going on. The Pinehurst village manager recently met with a group of folks from the Jackson Hamlet community about the possibility of annexation by Pinehurst. So the other services you mentioned, like garbage collection, can be provided by the village. It was his impression that there is not a unanimity of opinion, that there's not going to be a 100% petition filed, as I said. But he reported back to the village council. The village council said in a public meeting that they're certainly willing to consider annexation. And the village of Pinehurst, in fact, is studying whether the Jackson Hamlet neighborhood qualifies under the city-initiated annexation statutes, those development standards I mentioned, for annexation.
That's excellent to hear. One of the issues, this is a broader issue than just Pinehurst and Moore County. One of the problems is there's no really good funding mechanism for communities that do not have the adequate infrastructure. Most infrastructure is now put in place by developers as they build a development. They put the road, the water, the sewer, and pass it along. The financing mechanisms to provide water and sewer, which are very expensive, for communities that are bypassed, are not in place like they once were. The Rural Center does an excellent job in many of the areas in the smaller towns, but there's not as much federal money, there's not as much state money, and it is very expensive. We recognize this. But it's an issue that we need to sit down and see how we can reach some resolutions so that the people who need this infrastructure can receive it.
Let me mention one issue that I bet Dr. Pardell and I can agree on. The Federal Community Development Block Grant Program is the best program for addressing problems like we're talking about in neighborhoods. That program is under attack in Washington, and we had better save that.
Okay, we'll go to the phones now. We have Bill with us from Durham. Hi there, Bill.
Yes, hello. I appreciate you doing a show on this. I was just down in Pinehurst last week, and I was struck by the starkness of Pinehurst and the communities you're talking about. My comment was about the threshold of unanimity. That seems like a very high threshold, and if someone within that community, for whatever reason, if he was an employee of Pinehurst or something, or would be politically risky or whatever, you would just shoot the whole works down. So I'm wondering about these sorts of institutional changes that your guest was just mentioning about the need for a more fair bargaining position.
Ellis Hankins, you mentioned earlier that you needed that 100%. But what if you have people who say, you have that one person who's a holdout, say there are 100 people in town and one person's the holdout, could say that, let's just say the town of Pinehurst, decide that it would annex everything but that one holdout's land?
Well, it really does not work that way. You can't, it's not sound practice to leave donut holes in the middle of an area that the town annexes. That has happened to some extent in the past, frankly, in the Pinehurst area and in Cary, but that's not the best practice. Back to Pinehurst, the village of Pinehurst is conducting a study about whether the Jackson Hamlet neighborhood meets the requirements of the city-initiated annexation statutes. and the village council is willing to consider that. Let me mention, Dr. Parnell.
In other
mentioned,
words, are you talking there? The town would do it an involuntary.
Yes.
They could, because that's the other option.
A village initiated annexation, in other words. Dr. Parnell mentioned the Monroe Town neighborhood earlier. The village of Pinehurst actually annexed a subdivision in that area several years ago under a local act enacted by the General Assembly. The Pinehurst manager reminded me this morning that at the time the village contacted residents of the Monroe Town neighborhood, asked them whether they wished to be annexed, and the answer was no.
In other words, a subdivision went in, and presumably a subdivision that would be more affluent than the existing little town.
That's
and that
right.
is now part of the town. Alan, quickly before we go to another call.
I don't know the particulars, as though in the Charlotte Observer it was reported that they were less than sure, an article 9 days ago, whether the people in Monroe Town were informed. The people in all these communities fear that the town would prefer to have their property and not them. And one of their concerns is being annexed and then condemned for being blighted through eminent domain. In the same article in the Charlotte Observer, the town manager from Aberdeen referred to the blighted condition in Midway. And blight is a legal meaning, not an aesthetic meaning. Eminent domain condemnation can be used for redevelopment if an area is declared to be blighted. So, and these people are quite concerned that if they are annexed, they'll be redeveloped out of a home.
So in some ways, that sounds like it's almost making the case to keep the status quo.
It's up to the community and the town. I don't have the answers. They have to work it out together.
The answer is that there is no easy, simple answer. There is no consensus in some of these neighborhoods in favor of annexation. Some of the neighborhoods are being evaluated under the municipality's policies about annexation under the city-initiated annexation procedure. Mm-hmm. And it might happen in some of the areas.
We are talking about annexation laws in North Carolina. We've been focusing largely so far this hour on the situation that happens, as has been talked about a lot in recent weeks, around Pinehurst, where the U.S. Open is about to take place, where there are some small pockets of communities that don't have the same services that the more affluent Pinehurst has. And there are some, at least, who are saying they should be annexed. But as you're hearing, this is somewhat up in the air. There is another annexation issue that is among us, and that is the issue of involuntary annexation. In Wake County in particular, around the town of Cary, there is an opposite attitude of not wanting to be annexed. Residents there don't want to be annexed. And Ron Thorson is chairman of the group Stop North Carolina Annexation. He joins us on the phone now. Thanks for being with us, Ron Thorson.
Thank you, Melinda. I appreciate you having me.
Well, you live in what is now an unincorporated area of Wake County near Cary. When you bought your place, did you especially go outside the town, make a special point of living outside the town limits of Cary?
Well, as a personal choice, yes, that's what we made. But I want to step back just a moment to your intro to explain that some areas such as around Cary, there's many areas throughout the state of North Carolina that have had involuntary annexation of people that are not interested in being a part of that. And let's go to Moore County, because I think it's important for us to clarify right now. Our group is called Stop NC Annexation, but we believe the donut hole people there should have the right to be able to ask to be a part of the community. And the inequity here, and it's really important to point out the inequity here, is that a community can come and involuntarily annex. Let's say there's 100 people. They don't need one person's approval for the community to come and involuntarily annex them. They want to call it town initiated. It's involuntary. They'll take over the area. But yet if one person in that area wants to be a part of the community, no, they have to have 100%. See, the laws are flawed. And the annexation laws, as they are in this state, need to be studied and researched. But Mr. Henke's organization continues to lobby against that. He doesn't want to review these particular laws for these particular cases, such as Moore County. And that's really the crux to what we're arguing about. We believe that these laws need to be looked over. We actually believe that the people should have a right and a choice in the process. But we're for those people being able to be a part of the community down there. And in fact, unfortunately, we've even been labeled as racist against that, which is completely opposite and false of what we stand for. We stand for the individual property rights, no matter where they sit on the economic scale.
Well, I want to pose this, what you've said to Alice Hankins, because Alice, it does sound the way Ron Thorson is describing it, that the law is very much in favor of the cities and towns, the municipalities that you represent, to pick and choose who is going to come within their town limits and who will not. If there might be 50% of the people in Jackson Hamlet who say they'd like to be annexed by Pinehurst, they can't be that way because you need 100% unanimity to be annexed in. However, towns could look at more affluent areas than a Jackson Hamlet, and they could say, that couple million-dollar tax base would be mighty fine to have in our town coffers, and annex that. So.
Mr. Thorson and I have discussed these issues before in the media. Hi, Ron.
How are you doing, Ellis?
I'm
good.
Fine.
Good to speak with you.
What the legislature had in mind back in the 50s and still does is this: cost-effective delivery of public services to citizens, particularly in areas as they become urban in character. Most of our cities and towns include annexation, either the citizen-initiated or the city-initiated annexation, in their comprehensive planning program. They have standards, policies, and as areas become qualified for annexation under the statutes and need the services, eventually they will be annexed. Now, here's the way it works. It's not easy or simple. There are strict standards. It's not easy to qualify an area, and it's not inexpensive either for the city to then provide the public services out there in that area.
But cities wouldn't do this for out of altruism. They would see that there is advantage to have that tax base.
Part
right?
of it is, frankly, and should be, to keep our cities and towns financially strong. We have more AAA rated, that's the strongest credit rating, municipalities in North Carolina by far than any other state. The credit rating agencies, that's Standard & Poor's and Moody's and those rating agencies in New York and the Wall Street Journal, all have written that the ability of our municipalities to expand as areas around them become developed is one of the things that keeps our cities and towns financially strong. That's in the interest of everyone in our state, whether they live inside a city or not.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's important, though, is that when you talk about the bond ratings and so forth, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but if this type of law is so good, how come it's been going down over the past 20 years than up? There's only 6 states, I believe, that actually have this actual involuntary action. And the point of it is that, I know that the battle here is debated on whether it's good or not, but let's go back to the issue of the people's right to choose and economic divide. And you talked about the real thing about the dollars, and Mr. Hankins starts to talk about the qualifications. You have to remember that as the developments encircled these areas in Pinehurst, they affected the ecology, they affected the groundwater, they affected the runoff, they affected this area in negative ways that possibly contributed to the failing wells and septic systems of these properties. A lot of this, and I guess I don't know the history of it, and I don't want to get into the great detail of where it went, but I can tell you that as you look throughout the state, you will see that involuntary annexation occurs greatly in places of more affluence and very much less in places of little affluence. And so this becomes a division of classes. It isn't a racial division.
Mr. Thorson is crying some crocodile tears there. Mr. Thorson lives in a subdivision right on the doorstep of the town of Cary. It's a fairly affluent, very nice subdivision. The area around that subdivision has changed. It has developed. If things never changed, we would not be having this discussion about annexation. But they do.
And you're saying it changed so that it resembles what is over the county, what over
right.
the town line.
In rapid urban development causing the need for urban services. And by the way, there's documentation in the Wake County Health Department about failing septic tanks in that very subdivision, which drives home the point.
Well, the real key is that adding in other places that grow, unless you Swift Creek, that's right next to it, of course, LSU knows Swift Creek has asked for, you know, their own incorporation to the state legislature, and they've been denied. And we, of course, we believe that's been denied because of visions of other communities wanting to be able to annex in that property. So the actual individual property rights, when it comes to annexation, has been, it's a political football. And it really is one that has been dealt with politically, and unfortunately in Moore County, it actually looks like it economically as well. And that's where this issue is flawed. That's where these laws need to be reviewed. And unfortunately, we keep getting stonewalled by lobbying organizations that we ask the legislature to go and review this law and to look it over and to see about changes in it. We understand that in very rare circumstances in the state, involuntary annexation may be necessary in order to maintain the health of a community. We understand it in very, very rare instances.
Right.
But
well,
for the most part, we look at for people to have a choice.
And just as an update, none of those bills have gotten past the committees by the deadline to be acted on in this session. Let's go. This actually may prove that this is not just an issue in Wake County. We go to Oak Island, where Peter, I understand, Peter, you're the town manager there?
That's right.
Okay, well, welcome to the state of things.
Thank you.
What's your take on involuntary annexation?
Well, I've been involved in local government for more than 40 years. And I guess over these 40 years I've been involved in, I was sitting here while I was waiting to get on the air, close to a dozen annexations. And they might be evenly split between statutory and voluntary. And I must say that the communities where I have worked, altruism, in other words, annexing communities that are in need of services, regardless of economic basis, was at least half of the communities that were annexed. When I was the first town manager of Morrisville in 1984, we annexed what is commonly known as the Shiloh community. Shiloh community is a predominantly black community on the north side of current Morrisville. Runs up to the Durham County line.
Right. Well, if you would just, Peter, if you could just hold the line, if you could just hold the line a second, we do have to take a quick break, but we will get back to your call and more at 1-877-962-9862. We are talking about annexation laws in North Carolina. Just where do you draw the line? We are joined by Alan Parnell of the Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities, Ellis Hankins of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, and Ron Thorson, who is chairman of Stop North Carolina Annexation. The number is 1-877-962-9862. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. This is the State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava, and we're talking this hour about annexation in North Carolina. In some parts of the state, such as Moore County, Pinehurst area, there are some residents who are asking to be annexed into the larger, more affluent towns. Meanwhile, around Wake County cities such as Cary and in Fayetteville, there are residents who resist annexation and the higher taxes that come with becoming part of a city. We're talking this hour with Alan Parnell. He is vice president of Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities, which has been looking into the annexation issue. Also, Ellis Hankins, executive director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, and Ron Thorson, who is chairman of Stop North Carolina Annexation. He is just outside the Cary limits. And we're taking your calls. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. And on the line is Peter, who is a town manager in Oak Island. So Peter, you were saying that there are a number of reasons that towns, in your experience, 40 years, have annexed property.
That's right. And as I was saying, local government managers, my fellow managers, and the councils that represent the government leadership really in the United States, as Ellis pointed out earlier, we have more than 25% of the AAA bond-rated agencies in the nation in this state. And the reason that we are so well recognized for good government is the basis upon which governments can function, one of which is voluntary and involuntary annexations to provide services to growing urban areas surrounding our fringes.
So is this the idea here, Peter, that North Carolina may not suffer the malaise that, say, other cities, maybe even northern cities, shall we say, have, where there is the very urban center, and then that is it. Like, you know, the city can't grow anymore. It cannot annex the suburbs there that might bring in more money to help the city stay afloat.
Detroit is a great example of that, by the way.
You only have to go north of the North Carolina border to the Commonwealth of Virginia to see that the 43 cities, independent cities in Virginia, which are not in counties, because, but by virtue of the formation of a commonwealth, cannot annex at all by law, and 18 of those are dying. Those include Richmond, Norfolk, Roanoke, Charlottesville. Their cores are dying because they don't have any economic growth to them. All of the growth has gone to the suburban counties, the Chesterfield counties, the Hanover counties.
Right. Right. Well, Peter, thank you for your call. I do want to go back to Ron Thorson, because something that comes to mind as we're discussing the cities being able to, you know, take on more of the town around them is almost like Pac-Man. I mean, they can continue to eat out at the edges and consume that and bring that in to their limits. And Ron Thorson, what do you think of this issue about keeping, say, a city such as Cary vibrant and alive and not suffering from those problems that other inner cities have?
Quickly, I'm a former elected official out of another state. I was out of Wisconsin, so I understand what it's to be in a town government, and I understand what budgets are. And I understand that if you keep gathering more revenue from out beyond your borders, you don't have to raise your taxes, you don't have to make the decisions that some of the industrialized states in the north, which industry has moved past. North Carolina was good through the 90s, and I admit, I'm here, I love this state, it's a great state, with some technology, some pharmaceuticals. But I tell you what, as some of the industry keeps moving overseas, this state is going to face the same economic pressures as other places have throughout the country, such as Detroit and Newark and so forth. Go to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. All the communities around there are different entities and different communities. In other words, they're all part of municipalities. So this whole idea about annexation requiring this to make the state vibrant is only a snapshot in time, possibly, if those, I mean, I don't have those numbers in front of me, so I can't verify them. North Carolina's been growing. It's a wonderful state, and it has some great potential. But here's the issue. Let's use Cary. Let's use Wake County as an example. As soon as Cary would reach the borders, it would hit Apex, Holly Springs, all the communities that surrounds it and stops, then what's Cary going to have to do in order to grow? I mean, if this is all about growth, which it isn't, it's about additional revenue, which keeps the community's financial structure good. They don't have to raise taxes. There's no political problems here. And so they just keep gaining more revenue, but it's kind of a shell game.
What happens when you hit that brick wall
there
at Holly Springs,
Ellis? Let me talk
for a minute
about Mr. Thorson's community of Cary. He lives right outside it. And let me say, Mr. Thorson and the members of his group do not ever want to be annexed by the adjacent community, no matter what changes around them. Look at the name of the organization, StopNCAnnexation.com. They mean that. And by the way, most of the annexations by the town of Cary, all but a handful in the past, have been citizen-initiated annexations by petition, often developers of new subdivisions, just a handful of town-initiated annexations.
What's in it for the developers to be annexed?
First of all, the town of Cary has a policy, as many of our others do, of not providing public water and sewer service outside the municipal limits without annexation.
Okay.
So that's an important thing. The thing that members of the General Assembly had in mind in the 50s and still do is cost-efficient delivery of public services. Think water and sewer for a minute. We often hear we ought to run government like a business. That's what we're trying to do. If all this growth had taken place in North Carolina in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s without these annexation laws, we would have a bunch of small municipalities or special tax districts trying to provide these services in a not very cost-efficient way. It would be much more expensive. The General Assembly had in mind the citizens and taxpayers and saving them money, and the municipal annexation statutes do.
Well, I talked to a number of people actually from that were around in the 1959 legislative era, and they've actually come to me and come to our organization and tell what they felt was going on at the time. You know, 1965, the Civil Rights Act came, and it was termed as white flight at the time. And as the dollars were moving out of the communities, there was a suggestion, to some at least, that have been to me, and I don't make that assessment. I'm just telling you what I was told, that this was to go out and grab that dollars before it kept going out farther from the community. But regardless of that, it's also, too, earlier in the conversation, I said we do support involuntary annexation on a very limited and specific basis, based on specific needs for the community. So for us, not I think that really what should occur here is that the community should set a border and get that border in order, what's inside that border, and then have responsible growth, with annexation being a participant of both the residents and the community, and not have just that the community can. I mean, you spoke about it before. Mr. Hankins talks about how close Cary's come. Well, 10 years ago, Cary wasn't very close. They've moved closer. I didn't move farther away, or I didn't move closer to them. And we don't have a voice in that government and the decisions that they make as they move forward. And that's how it is in this state. And so that is taxation without representation for them to come and take over an area against the will of the property owners.
Well, you'd be represented. You'd have a vote because you could now vote in a Cary town
election. Yeah, you only vote once you're taken in.
Right, right.
You don't have a vote to set the policies that get you there in 5-10 years.
Mm. I want to return to that in a moment, but let's go now to Cary, where Michael is on the line. Michael, I understand, are you a state representative there?
No, ma'am. I'm the at-large representative, Michael Joyce, from the town of Cary.
Okay. Welcome to the conversation.
And I'm not calling to get in the middle of the debate. I think it's healthy enough without my comment.
You're in the middle of it right now, but go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Alice. Hi, Ron. What I wanted to do was just to add to something Mr. Hankins had stated about the fiscal health of a municipality. And it's ironic that just this morning I'm finalizing a budget preparation for the town of Cary that I'm going to submit independently. But the town of Cary, to annex these donut holes, had to restrict, take out of their taxpayers' fund over $13 million. Now, Cary is having to borrow $27 million just to finance its normal needs this year. If we had that $13 million, that would be that much less that we have to go and research to try to find savings out raising taxes. So the important aspect of annexation, especially the involuntary, is that when a developer annexes, they build the infrastructure within a residential community, and then they hand it over to Cary. When you annex involuntary neighborhoods that have well and septic tanks, the taxpayer has to fund the water and sewer to each citizen's house.
The collective taxpayer, or also the people who are being annexed in?
Existing taxpayers. And
the existing taxpayer are paying for the people that the community is taking in. So actually the taxpayer in Cary is actually paying for this annexation.
And the tax people who are being annexed.
That, over the years, but to have the funding available for the two-year moratorium, within 2 year time, the community has to have services available, and all this goes on. We can get into a lot of the great details, but I thank Councillor Joyce for bringing that up because it's very important. It is annexation costs the current taxpayers money, and so when you look at all this from a fiscal, smoke and mirrors and shell game and how bond ratings go and so forth, there's a lot to all this, and our goal is to have this all reviewed in the legislature, and the League of Municipalities continues to lobby against this, saying there's no need to review it.
Well, I want to go back to Michael in Cary Town Hall. what's in it for Cary, then, if it's going to cost $13 million to, is that to bring those donut hole areas that are being annexed into the town, into the city, and to extend the services to them? What's in it for the town to do that, then? What do you get out of that?
Well, I think Mr. Ellis Hankins just said something. Long term, we will recoup that through property tax collections. But it's just important to note that the existing taxpayers are funding the infrastructure provisions for these neighborhoods now, these newly annexed folks. And it's just a matter of understanding that the $13 million is equal to what would be a 12-cent property tax increase on the existing citizens, because every 1 cent per 100 valuation brings in $1.1 million for the town of Cary. So I just wanted to throw that into this debate because it's something that is indeed left out. Municipalities will grow. It's at what rate and what order they do. And Mr. Thorson hit on something very important, that when any municipality in this country reaches its boundaries, they have to look within to financially operate the community. So the argument of we have to grow to sustain ourselves is probably looking at the short term with Wake County, but sooner or later cities are going to stop. The Bostons have to go up instead of out. So there's a lot to this, and like I said, I didn't want to get into this debate. I just wanted to make sure that I inserted that the existing taxpayers are extremely burdened with involuntary annexation. I'll let you gentlemen get back with your health.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to let Ellis Hankins respond.
Mr. Joyce is within the membership of the League of Municipalities, and I know him well. Let me just say that that Michael Joyce disagrees with the vast majority of municipal elected officials in North Carolina. There's a strong consensus among that group, the League's membership, that the annexation statutes have served the whole state of North Carolina and all our people well for many years, and used in a fair and sound way, which they are, by municipal elected officials, they will continue to serve North Carolina well.
Why not open this up for some debate, though, Ellis Hankins? What would the League of Municipalities have to lose if at least it were discussed in the legislature?
This has been discussed, Melinda, many, many, many times in the General Assembly. There's been legislative study committee after another, and the study committee that Mr. Thorson just referred to made some recommendations that were enacted, some of which the League agreed to and were negotiated, that made significant changes to the annexation statutes. One of them, for example, was about real farmland that's in actual agricultural production. Towns didn't really want to annex those farms, even if they happened to be in the middle of an urbanized area. And so we worked out a provision that allows the surrounding area to be annexed, but as long as that farm stays in actual production, it's not annexed until the agricultural production stops.
And then it becomes green space?
No, or then it becomes part of the town. Now, the town doesn't control what happens to the property. The owner of the property does, remember.
I want to let Alan Barnell jump in here. Alan?
Last Friday on The Connection, Mr. Wyatt, the county manager of Moore County, took the position that the annexation laws are not addressing the needs of the at least from the county perspective. And he did call for revisiting the annexation laws. And in many ways, that's what we're doing today in this debate. It's beginning a debate that we hope will continue.
Well, are the county, Ellis Hankins, are the counties and the cities not seeing this eye to eye then?
The membership of the Association of County Commissioners is not in favor of repealing these municipal annexation statutes. They're not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ron Thorson?
Well, I think it's also important that a lot of things that get through the legislature are either pushed or allowed by the legislature based on lobbying efforts and how much study has been done, being thwarted. Anytime that a government entity, and I was a former elected official, refuses to relook at an issue that creates so much debate, it brings into question why that refusal is, and I understand that there's a belief in that law. I want to cover something. Cary is only a 30-year-old community. It had 15,000 people in 1975. Now, when you talk about the cost of annexation and people paying that cost, you know, I was in a part of a community that was 150 years old, and as our sewers started to deteriorate because they were built in the 1920s and 30s, we had that reconstruction cost and all that. So to suggest that the people that are being annexed in are going to pay their way completely is really not true, because the larger the services, the more maintenance you have to do with it, and all these costs are kind of skewed.
We are coming on the end of the show, but what about the issue on sewage, for instance? If a lot of people who are being brought into the town of Cary, you know, are currently on septic, and it may be presumed that over time those are not going to continue to work well.
And proper maintenance of some of them can keep up.
So might that be a price that is necessary to pay, regardless of who's paying, for the general good of everybody, because groundwater goes where groundwater wants to.
You could have regional and district site sewer and water systems and not be a part of municipalities, and that's what it is in Moore County to some degree, because it's a part of the county. Yet, for some reason or another, that's tied to the communities. And like I said, each area is unique, and I don't know all the specifics about that, but I find that, you know, when we talked about, there was suggested that we'd have little different governments around. No, actually, if you had district-wide services, that would be more economical, in my opinion, than having, you know, different municipalities have all their own services.
Okay, Ellis Hankins, very brief.
Well, Ron Thorson has mentioned his former hometown of Superior, Wisconsin, several times. Let me say that city is in decline, has been for years. Part of the reason is it is under the Wisconsin law. The city is not authorized to expand by annexation. Our cities and towns are not in that situation. We want them to remain strong and continue to make progress, and our current annexation statutes are an essential component in that.
And that's where our debate's going to have to end for today, and although it doesn't appear that this is going to proceed in the legislature this year, the debate will probably go on. I would like to thank you all for being with us. Ron Thorson is chairman of Stop North Carolina Annexation. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you.
And Ellis Hankins is executive director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities. municipalities. Thanks, Ellis.
My pleasure.
And thanks to you, too, Alan Parnell, who is Vice President of Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities.
Thank you for having me.
And for today, that's the state of things. If you have a comment about our program, our email is sot@wunc.org. Thanks for listening. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Melinda Pencava.